myself. No one to walk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. A misbehaving, saving my love for you.
September the 2nd, 1949, started like any other day with a black coffee, a cigarette, and a visit from the debt collectors. I was in my office downtown staring at the empty desk of my dead partner, Mike Rackman. He had bought it just after New Year's, shot dead in the bed of someone else's wife. That was Mike, always living on the edge of respectability. His kid daughter Wilmer, by way of his second marriage, was my secretary, and for a 20-year-old, she ran a tight ship and kept me in some level of order. Having convinced the debt collectors I was in Catalina on a case while I hid under my desk, she answered the phone that had been ringing off the hook for the past 5 minutes.
"It's Ari Geller's office at Fox," she said. "They want you down there in an hour. Shall I say yes?"
Like I had any choice. I didn't want to see all my office contents in the street in a couple of days. I rolled down to Burbank. It was a warm and breezy day, and I kept the windows open and let the air flow through. Ari Geller was head of security at 20th Century Fox. We'd had occasion to meet when I was on the job, and the commies had started their infiltration of Hollywood. He'd been stand-up, helping me out after my fall from grace, and we were usually good for a couple of well-paid jobs every couple of months. Most of this was standard snooping, checking out directors, producers, and stars, and giving them the scoop on who was screwing who, both figuratively and literally. I strolled into Ari's office to see a clam bake was in session. I recognized Solly Gaflani straight away. He was a big-time movie producer, and he and Ari had served together in the war as Army Rangers. Word had it that they were part of some Jewish hit squad that tracked down Nazis at the end of the war trying to escape into the hands of the Allies. They were called the Avenging Angels, or something like that. Ari was tall and thin, with hooded eyes, and a face that was all angles. Solly was short and barrel-shaped, and always wore tinted glasses, so you couldn't make out what he was thinking. Guess that's a benefit in his business. Of the other three men in the room, I just recognized the one. A former actor by the name of John Baldwin. John had been a leading man back in the late 1930s. He was a Golden Gloves boxer from New York City who, like many others, had come to turn his smoldering looks into Hollywood diamonds. He had starred opposite June Allison in the well-received adaptation of The Three Musketeers that came out in 1940. He joined the Marines and went island-hopping until he met the wrong end of a Jap flamethrower. He took some nasty burns that meant his pretty face was literally smoldering. The medical corps had done some reconstruction with the looks of it, but it was safe to say his days of lighting up the silver screen were over. John was apparently the assistant to the guy sitting in an armchair in a smart navy suit, whose name was Michael Katzenbach. I'd heard of this guy in passing. He was what Hollywood loosely call a fixer. Someone like me who's called in to make problems go away. His expertise revolved in getting starlets out of trouble, usually involving hush-hush visits to private out-of-state clinics. He was also well-connected on the sleazier side of town, but I wasn't going to judge. I had fallen far further than he had. The last of the trio was a solid-looking man who had the look of an academic. As soon as he shook my hand and said hello, I could tell he wasn't a local. He sounded British, the kind of a twang to the accent that I later discovered was from New Zealand. His name was Roger Fitzgerald, and he was an archaeologist by training. In the war, he'd been one of those long-range recon guys who had headed off into the deserts of North Africa on his own in a jeep in search of Rommel and his tanks. He didn't look crazy, but that was my first impression. Roger was working as a historical expert on the movie The Idol from Malay, starring Randolph Scott and Lara Swan, one of the studio's big hopes for box office success for 1950. However, he and the rest of the production were presently cooling their heels, as filming had recently shut down, and it was this that was causing the trouble we had been brought together to fix. The problem was with Lara Swan. She had refused to return to the set 3 days previously, due to the disappearance of her assistant and dresser, Susan Wilton. For a substantial reward, we were asked to find Susan and get production moving again. That all seemed simple enough, but Ari kept me back after the initial meeting had wrapped up. He had a second problem. Lara's movie understudy was a statuesque blonde by the name of Lucy Whitehall, and she was at the center of a blackmail attempt with pictures of her engaged in bestial sex acts with two Doberman pinschers. The pictures had her dressed as Lara Swan and had been delivered to the studios. Ari and Solly, concerned that casual viewers of the images would believe it was Lara, were keen to find the blackmailers and offered an additional reward. As we were talking, a young fellow by the name of Eddie Bellows gatecrashed the meeting, using the name Mickey Cohen as his password. Cohen was the big name of the Cosa Nostra, who had gone from being a syndicate bodyguard to a criminal kingpin. As it turned out, it was Cohen's punch in the side, Audrey Anders, who had asked him to find out what was troubling her best friend Lucy, and Bellows, seemed sweet on the Whitehall dame, had agreed to help. Outside, I met up with Katzenbach and his colleagues, and we agreed to drop in on Miss Swan and see if we could have a polite chat about the situation. Mr. Fitzgerald had a good idea. Apparently, Lara was a history nut who liked nothing more than seeing some old relics, which suited our description down to the ground. He stopped off at the L.A. County Museum to borrow some rare coins as a sweetener for Lara to let us in. Apparently, when he was at the museum, there was some hoo-ha about a professor having collapsed, a guy named Dr. Stephen Winslow. Now, remember that name. It's going to be important later. So, that evening, we all met up at Lara's mansion in Beverly Hills, where the lady of the house told us just what was going on.